video games are the devil.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is. Let me turn that thing on one time, T-Mill. How you feel about that?
Real deal.
Turned on.
As well, you should be. It's a party, man. It's a party with Dirty. You should be good and turned on.
Let's get it.
Well, the O-line in Houston has been rough. The pass protection, which I've reiterated a million times, to be fair to the offensive line, it's an overall pass protection problem. It's been as bad as I recall seeing with any team that I've ever covered, with the exception of the 2023 Arkansas Razorbacks. They have not been that bad. But there is no doubt about it that is a huge talking point, probably the biggest talking point that we've had beyond the penalties for a couple of weeks, the injuries now overall, but the consistent week in, week out, most concerning topic with the Houston Texans is these guys can't pass protect at this point in time for the best young quarterback in the game and what at the end of last year was considered a top five quarterback in the game. And Nick Caserio, general manager, all due respect, he goes on the Texans All Access with the boys last night. And, of course, he's asked about the offensive line and about the pass protection. And here's what Nick has to say.
Yeah, I think, honestly, it's a little bit of a lazy narrative. So, I mean, there's so many components. I mean, you have 35, 40 passes, so the quarterback's not hitting every play. So, I mean, sometimes there's a defensive call where they have more than you can block. So you have to have an answer built into the play. So, you know, we had our moments, times where CJ was able to maneuver in the pocket. He made a number of plays the other day where he kind of found some space and was able to deliver the ball. So playing quarterback is, part of playing quarterback is playing with a little bit of a dirty pocket. So I also think, you know, we've got to be careful of painting a picture about the offensive line. We certainly had our moments. I mean, we ran for I don't know how many yards. We threw for 280 yards. So, I mean, there's a lot of positives. So the things that we have to get fixed, you know, we're going to look at those and figure out a way to get them fixed. So, but sometimes you got to give a credit to the defense as well, because sometimes they have a call that's conducive to that situation that maybe doesn't match up with what you have called offensively. So that's the way it goes. So that group cares a lot. The coaches care a lot. So always looking for ways to improve. And if there's an opportunity for us to do that, then we will.
Tyler, can you play that one more time for me, just about the first 4 seconds?
Yeah, I know what you're looking for.
Yeah, I think, honestly, it's a little bit of a lazy narrative. So, I mean,
that's enough. This one pisses me off, boys.
Wow, dude.
I'm going to tell you, there. You don't have to like me. You don't have to love me. You don't respect me. And there is absolutely nothing worse than being lazy in my eyes. I mean, there's obviously, Ron looks at me like, yeah, there's a couple things worse. No, I just, like, bear with me here. Like, they're lazy takes and lazy opinions. I know that's a lot of folks in the media like to use that just to be disrespectful. But I'm going to tell you, being a guy that has been beating the drum of this protection and this offensive line, along with the tight ends and the running back, that's awful. It's unacceptable. They should be embarrassed. We're at a point where D'Amico and Bobby Slowick and even Nick, if he would like, should have no problem commenting, publicly about how not about individuals, but at least about how we're not going to win a championship with this level of protection. We've got to get better. They should feel very comfortable in benching guys, which they did. So this one pisses me off, Nick. I wholeheartedly disagree with you and D'Amico playing down the pass protection, the O-line issues. I don't know how anybody, which I believe that Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, and Bobby Slowick and company, I believe they're very, 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 very some of the most elite in terms of being smart football guys. There's no way that any of them watch this film and go, yeah, man, it's a lazy narrative if anybody didn't think our offensive line is pass protecting well. It's kind of lazy, man. People aren't watching the film. Now, I will say this. I do think that there is a, you know, if you're somebody or if your take is that the O-line is awful because pass protection is awful and you don't include the tight ends and you don't include the backs and you don't include the silly ass, schemes that they're trying to do. And some of the follow-up comments that they've made about every team in the NFL uses their tight ends to block edge rushers. We got to ask the guys got to execute it. Like all of that is the problem. It's not just Kenyon Green at left guard or just the offensive line. Now, I could see where that may be a lazy narrative, but there's no bones about it. Anybody that wants to accurately analyze the Texans is going to arrive at the O-line has been dog doo-doo this year protecting the quarterback, and all parts of pass protection with this particular football team has been extremely, extremely poor. I don't know how you comment on that, Ron, but it just pissed me off, and I thought I would.
Well, I just want to say me and Nick were, y'all, after a rocky start, we were
moving close,
going out for frozen yogurt, Nick, and Nick's lying. Nick knows he's lying. I think at times GMs and coaches have to lie.
I believe in Nick Caserio.
They do lie. Some don't. Bill Parcells, I think, just goes up there and
yeah, but says, you can't call me and everybody else lazy.
No, I know.
You can't do it.
I think he stepped all into it and really, really gave it, but I think he's lying. The reason why I know he's lying is because you all told us it was a problem. Y'all ain't benched the running backs.
Yeah, you didn't bench any wide receivers.
You didn't bench any of the wide receivers.
Oh, my God.
When do we know it was a problem blocking tight end with defensive ends and running and putting him in the fullback role? Who got benched from doing that?
A tight end.
Dalton Schultz. We knew that was a problem. Who got benched in this game? Who did you take out in the first quarter? Three drives in the first quarter. You ain't take out the receivers. You took out your left guard. And it continued to be a problem when you had to put him back in. So, listen, it is not a lazy narrative, and you know it, Nick. And we know it. We can look out there. You don't have to be Andy Heck or Scarnecchia or Andy Reid, who's had anybody with great history with offensive line play. We can look out there and understand them brothers is dazed and confused and getting beat down.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't lazy. And you know it.
Yeah, this is I'm listening to Payne and Pendergast this morning, Ron, and I hear that audio, and I was like, boy, I've been hot ever since. I've been waiting for Dirty's Daily ever since to get on Nick's ass. Like, I was hot, boy. Because there ain't nothing more real and more true and more detrimental to winning a Super Bowl for this team than what we've been watching with this offensive line, and then to get backhanded with it. I can't let it rest. But I'm watching, and I do want to make a point. Sean and Seth had nothing to do with my statements here, my segment here, Nick. So bring the heat
still
to
wanna,
me.
Still want to get that frozen yogurt?
Yeah,
but sprinkles.
I did hear a stat too, because Seth didn't take very kindly to it either. Surprise, surprise. But the C.J. Stroud is the fourth most sacked and the fourth most knocked down quarterback in the league.
You know the answer to that.
Tell me your pass protection and your offensive line is not literally baby Laney doo-doo soft.
Yeah, but at this point, man, by the way, baby Laney is his youngest daughter.
11 months next week.
And by the way, I think, Nick, according to this version of Nick, those stats are just lazy. Those stats that have accumulated are just lazy.
And they say no.
I bet you when your quarterback against the Packers fired his helmet off into the ground, he wasn't thinking, this damn lazy take. Your coach has marched up to the podium for the last 2 weeks and said, We got a block better. Everything's on the table.
Hold on, show.
Lazy.
Yeah. Yeah, this
but
is.
I still want to get that ice cream, though.
Yeah, yeah, y'all get that ice cream. Let Nick know.
It was a yogurt. Excuse me, Nick.
Yeah, let him know I'm dead ass serious.
Bad MF-er.
I don't appreciate that. That lazy word will really get your boy heated up.
It's the way he said it too.
Let's.
Yeah, so condescending.
Let's move to something a little more positive here, boys. Ron, yesterday I talked about.
What D'Amico would want.
Well, no, he would want me to lead with the positivity. But I'm not. Sure. I did not do that. It's too late for that.
Go to the middle with the positive and end it.
Too late.
Better late than never.
We talked yesterday a little bit about this defense and about being a believer in this defense, Ron. And that was more of just a vibe and a feel for me and just a. I mean, I can't keep just saying yeah, but you know what I mean. Boy, they were good, but boy, they you know. They stopped the run, but, man, they were really good against the pass. But, you know, I mean, I at some point I got to quit that, right? But I'm going to tell you, this is Will Anderson in the Texans postgame show with Sean Pendergast and myself. And I was just trying to, really, Seth Payne wanted me to ask Will about the final play of the Colts game where they chose to pressure on the Hail Mary situation instead of play coverage. And so I hit him with, well, you know, what's the deal? And when your defense starts doing stuff like this and you do it and you're successful with it and guys don't stop and question, go, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? What happened? To me, that signifies that you're on a whole nother level defensively when you can literally in the moment make these kinds of adjustments and the guys that are executing it know exactly what you want and go out there and execute it the way we saw them execute it. Here's Will Anderson talking about the final play of the Colts game.
Hey, talk to us a little bit about that last play, man. I mean, that was wild. I know y'all brought pressure off of the quarterback's right, left. I mean, but take us through how you saw that play unfold.
So it was so weird because we never practiced that before. We've never practiced that before. And coach is like, we're just going to overload to one side and y'all play off of each other. And so Daniil got into like a wide five. D'Amico was in a three. And I was behind Daniil and I was just playing off of him. And all I know is Daniil went high, D'Amico went high, and I'm running behind Daniil. The guard comes to me and I just wrap around and me and Daniil just meet right there at the quarterback. So, man, it was awesome. Hopefully we can do that on a regular down instead of, you know, last minute of the game.
Man, it's just stumbled into something, right? That's crazy. So it was almost like y'all just drew it up on the back of a napkin or something.
Just fast. Like, not even on the whiteboard. Just everybody overload and y'all play off of each other and see what happens.
Right there at the end. I mean, a huge game. I mean, the game is on the line. And defensively, you've played great. And now all of a sudden, it's like the biggest play of the game right at the end. And you don't use a whiteboard, no nothing. You just, hey, man, you three get on one side.
And Chicago's and getting crushed.
Yes.
All weekend later for
not being prepared, right? It's just like, to me, it was a beautiful play, a lot of fun. Will's great in an interview situation. I mean, it'd be killer to get Will on a weekly basis, y'all, by the way, just to let you know.
I second that.
But the thought that this defense and D'Amico and the group as a whole, they're at a place where literally in the moment they can say, hey, boom, do this right here. They don't stop and argue about it. They don't go, who's going to line up where? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? They literally just go out there, get lined up, execute it to perfection, sack the quarterback, fumbled, ball's rolling over the field, game's over, Texans win. That's indicative of a next level defense. Now this defense has to get healthy. They've got to get some guys some more experience with some of the youngsters that are playing, Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter and such. But man, if you're doing things like that, you're just next level. You're a step ahead of most defenses in this league, Ron. So I'm.
Well, you also trust that you got guys that you can trust can handle.
Yeah, that D'Amico's trust and just let them loose, huh?
Yeah, and let them loose. And as he said after the game, whether we're drawing it up in the dirt or whatever, he know them jokers are going to be relentless and going after him.
Yeah, he knows what he's going to get.
Yeah.
I'm
not sure he was prepared in the back end, though. Like the back end, they were prepared up front, yeah.
Corporate America, man, how y'all feel about corporate America ways, man? You know, y'all I'm talking about work. Like submitting tickets and stuff if the arm of this mic breaks and stuff like that. Y'all, I mean, how y'all feel about it?
A lot of red tape.
I'm going to tell y'all, man. And this is me. This is my fault. I screwed it up. But the thought that, like, we are eliminating in corporate America the ability to walk out this door here and walk in and say, boys, I got an arm on this thing jacked up, man. I'm just letting you know, you might want to take a note and get it fixed kind of deal. We're eliminating, like I've got a question about pay. Not a big deal. I'm not disgruntled or anything. I got a question about something. I can't just pick the phone up and call. I finally find the email for the person.
Protocols, baby.
I finally find the email for the person. I'm like, hey, you got a second? I don't never met him, right? Hey, you got a second? I can jump on the phone with you, and I got a quick question. Yeah, my Google Calendar is up to date. You can check that and get on a reserve a spot. I'm like, schedule something. I'm like, I just want to text or call you real quick and get an answer. So my dumbass, I schedule it for 8:00 this morning.
Flew right through that, didn't you?
Flew right through it. Looked down, it was 8:24, and I was like, oh my God, I had
probably pissed that person smooth.
Oh, I'm sure she was pissed off because it was probably her first meeting too, 8:00 in the morning. Probably got out of bed 30 minutes early to do it. But I mean, and that's my bad. I screwed that up. I need to mature. I need to be better.
But you're saying you weren't in the best position to.
I should be able to jump in a damn car either on the way here, or when I leave here and go, hey, I got 2 minutes of your time, man. Let's get this out of the way. I should have to go schedule a phone call with you at 8:00 in the morning or 9:30 tomorrow and schedule this thing. I don't like to schedule things with my own family, much less like vacations and stuff, much less a phone call with someone with a 2 minute question. I'm just not cut out for this, man.
I know it, man.
I'm not cut out for it.
Schedule that meeting a little bit later.
I'm just gonna call. I think I'm just gonna call the number when I leave.
And just call it, yeah. Just keep calling it. Leave a message and just force it.
She'll text me back. My schedule's up to date.
And see, I wonder if it'll be a nasty, bit of a kind of a text where you can tell the tone of I woke up at 8:00 this morning.
Oh, I apologize. Not that this one. She never met me, so she don't know how genuine and sincere of a man I am.
Yeah, she doesn't know your tone.
She probably don't care.
All right, coming up,
she don't know my tone. It's not a good thing.
I got a question about Will Anderson. We'll discuss on the other side. And am I crazy for thinking this about Jameis Winston? Am I a little nuts about this? We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, before I get to this Jameis Winston thing, by the way, if you didn't hear his postgame,
hell, what you talking about? His pregame and postgame.
He had three interviews that he let it loose in.
They're one with water.
Yeah, he went and brought it. Half preacher, kind of half. I mean, he's really actually becoming one of the great poets in American history. But I got a question about Will. How we feel about that outfit Will slid in with?
It looked sharp, but the boots were a bit weird.
He really attacked it. I told Clint when I got in the press box, I said, you seen Will today? I said he's heading to the rodeo.
That's Cowboy like William.
I mean, it was legit, and he was happy about it, strutting in that bad boy. Was that a Halloween costume, or was that just a...
Nah, he's rocked.
This is what I'm rocking?
Yeah, I think he's rocked the 10-gallon hat before.
I just didn't know if that was a Halloween get-up, or is that what... Like, I'm just going... This is what I rolled out, and this is what I'm attacking the date with.
Yeah, I don't... He pulled it off, I'll say that.
It did not look... like CJ with the cowboy getup.
Well, it's not CJ. Just looks uncomfortable. And,
yes, yeah, that's right.
But I'll be honest with you. Like CJ on game day is a tough look. Like I don't think he's comfortable.
Sunday was a lot less aggressive. He had the little beige joint, but you know the jacket was cut off waist deep, just jeans.
I'm just telling you, I don't.
Clint said Stroud needs a new closet.
I'm just telling you.
CJ needs to start over.
Pushing the envelope on the fashion. I just don't think CJ comfortably, confidently does that. Odell Beckham Jr., you know, some of those guys, David Njoku in Cleveland. You know,
he's more confident than what the cowboy look.
He's a cowboy.
With what? Like his cowboy look. Oh yeah, yeah. No. There's levels to it. There's But no, like Will was pulling it off. And by the way, that's not. I'm trying to think where that lands, but that's not cowboy.
Western wear.
Is it?
Yeah, like kind of more like that Colorado cowboy kind of look.
Yeah, there's a different. It's a different cowboy.
Yeah,
it's for damn sure. My man had Louis Vuitton glasses on, big LVs on the side of.
There you go.
Nice.
But I where I was going with that, Ron, is I think he had it. He had the look nailed. Had he not gone with them boots, he said.
The best way I can describe them, they look like hooves.
It looks like he was walking around on two deer feet, like big ass.
Like I don't
deer
know
feet.
If he was like, all right, we're playing the Colts today, and I'm wearing hooves, but it looked.
But did, like I
not so good look.
And I'm not trying to like I just
he had to have those custom made right?
custom, but when you
because if you look at the picture the sole is cut hurt. Too the sole is cut now, like there's literally there's a seam sewn down the big toe, between the big where the big toe there's like a pocket for the big toe that you can see from the outside of his boot.
I bet they're comfortable.
He said that man had hooves.
It does. It looks like he's got deer feet.
That's the best way that I can explain it. That's a hell of a buck you go get there, man.
Siri don't understand Siri, either. Siri she just said on my computer. Yeah, look, I don't. He could have pulled off whatever look. It wasn't cowboy, but whatever look he was trying to pull off, had he gone with some, like he could have went with some gators. He could have even went with them rattlesnakes, more rattlers that I took back because I couldn't pull them off. Not the deer hooves.
Text line coming in. Will went as the Tex-Mex cowboy.
You know, it's interesting because I was trying to figure out a way to couch that.
To couch the type of cowboy he was?
Yes. You know, because if like there's different types of cowboys, and Will is probably in a league of his own, like different league, because I've never seen the hoof boots. But when you talk about like the leather jacket with the jeans that are faded in different spots that have the threads that you can see, the seams that are real bright and you can see.
Met ball look.
Who?
Like they're going like the Met ball. They're going with the. Like the Met ball is where you really go off in fashion. That's the kind of outfits that they're rolling with. Like the pants you're describing.
Well, like I'll tell you, to me, you know Louis the Singer? Country music artist?
No, I don't have Louis the Singer.
Mexican dude, Hispanic dude? Don't Louis have. The Singer? Great. Up and coming, emerging?
Tyler's nodding. He's waiting.
That's who it seems like Will was kind of going after, kind of that look. Mm. Until he got to the hoof boots.
Until he got to the shoes.
Yeah, it's
were they split or cloven hooves?
Bro, the toe was split for about 3 inches up between the big toe and the second toe.
Okay, so y'all were right on it.
I got a picture. You
we were
send
going
it
we were going for the deer look, not quite one of them other wild animals.
A deer hoof, yeah, with the one seam right up the middle. Yeah, that's what it looked like. When I looked down, I said, "What in the?" He said when he walked
we'll have
in.
To wait to get to Jameis. Those were requested.
He said D'Amico. No, he said when he walked in, D'Amico said, "What in the hell?" He said, "Man, I got
did
these."
Did he?
Yeah, he said, "I got these in."
Shout out to D'Amico.
I got these in North Carolina or South Carolina or something. That's what he said. He had to get them things custom made. I've seen a million different pairs of custom boots, all price range. I've never seen a pair of custom boots where literally the sole. The sole of the boot was cut.
What are those?
Have you seen the picture, Tyler?
Bougie cowboy, right there. That's what they call it.
I mean, you call it whatever you want. From till you get to the boots, you've never seen it.
The Colorado cowboy.
And they were suede, kind of suede-ish boots. That I don't know how. Again, I don't know how cowboy they were.
Yeah, it was a. I hadn't seen the shoes till you showed me the picture, but.
He pulled them jokers up one more time.
He did what he had to do. He pulled them suckers off.
Like, that's not really a cowboy boot either.
You know, you wouldn't qualify that.
No, it's not. It's not a cowboy boot.
It's just flat out. You're just not going to accept it as a cowboy boot.
Unless he's got, he is a big old boy. Unless he got them things smashed down a little bit.
That's just a boot.
All right, a lot happening with Will's boot and with Will's team. A lot happening right now. We understand the Diggs issue. We understand the offensive line issue. There's been some questions about the secondary, some other things. Trades are being made. Teams are going after players, and not just teams, but contenders in the AFC, along with the Texans. How active, or even do they need to be active, should the Texans be in the trade deadline? We'll discuss that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we'll let you hear from C.J. Stroud coming up here in the next segment on his reaction to Stephon Diggs being out for the season with the torn ACL. But with that, fellas, and Drive family, I think now it's clear. All right, there are some potential decisions to be made with this team. We are seeing who's at the top of the AFC, the Chiefs, adding DeAndre Hopkins, Josh Uche, a pass rusher from the Patriots. They've added two players in the last few days. The Ravens, they've added Deontay Johnson from the Panthers. Buffalo, of course, added Amari Cooper from the Browns. There are teams making moves to try to get guys. The Jets, who the Texans play, added what is Adam's first name?
Deontay?
Yeah, Deontay.
No, Devontae.
Devontae, thank you. Not Deontay. Devontae, yeah, like Jodeci. Devontae Adams, they've added him. So teams around the AFC are adding pieces for this stretch run. And there are certainly positions and areas, Clint, and the people where the Texans definitely could add. But should they? Should they add? Should they be in the market? And will you be disappointed if we get here November 5th and it will happen? The trade deadline will expire while we're on the air. Will you be disappointed if the Texans stay just as they are right now?
Yeah, I'd be disappointed. And this has nothing to do. I literally typed this up before I knew the outcome of Steph Diggs. This has nothing to do with losing Steph Diggs. For me, it's like if you're going to like do everything in your power to give yourself the best chance to make that run in the AFC versus some of these top teams, you know, I think there's moves to be made. You know, I think another cover defender is absolutely needed, and really in cornerback fashion is what I'm talking about. Maybe that's Jeff Okuda coming back at some point in time. Don't know if he's ever going to come back, but maybe that's him. But I think there could be a move there on the defensive side of the football. I think there could be a move at the interior defensive line position. Mm. I think there could be a move at the safety position. You flip over to the offensive side of the football, obviously I think there could be a move made at the offensive line position. So, yeah, look, I think there's I think they got to keep their eye open on the market, see who's available, which obviously they do as good a job as anybody. But yeah, I think there's a real chance. And if I had to pick one, to not just be all over the place, if I had to pick one on the offense, one on the defense, I would say an interior offensive lineman on the offense and a cover defender, a corner on the defensive side of the football.
How difficult and how long do you think those two positions are able to get to where they need to be, like to know the offense, know the defense, know their roles? Because we've seen a lot of receivers go right now. That's been the position we've seen many teams trade for. And it seems like, hell, receivers, we've seen them jump right in and slowly build.
We just
build.
Saw Devin White get in about 4 days.
Yes.
And play 30-plus snaps.
Yeah. So we've seen that. Are those positions where it could be difficult?
Possibly. I think that's all about the player. I mean, possibly it could be, but with this coaching staff and this organization, we've seen them be able to fast track that time and time again. But for me, these moves are not to And this is why I think they should be more aggressive than ever. And it's not because there's a desperate need, but it's because, like, you got a chance to make a run at a Super Bowl. And like, right now, you lose one corner and you're in a bad spot. Not a, man, we really like to have our top flight guy. You're in a bad spot. You come up against a team that's got three wideouts and can protect the quarterback, and they're going to spin it around the park a little bit. You're going to be in a bad spot, even if Kamari Lassiter and Stingley are both healthy. I think there's going to be some, when we're talking about top tier, top caliber opponents, which we're going to see as this schedule gets a little bit more difficult here. I think the cover defender room on this team is going to become more of a need than it is right now. It's so thin from an injury, you're in a tough spot if not.
Yeah, text line coming in. They need to address the O-line. Green is a problem. I'd try to find help before any receivers. Definitely need another corner, cover corner, and a guard. To answer my own question, I would most definitely be disappointed, because to me it would signal that they potentially right now don't think they're good enough to go get it, to go after it.
To go get a Super Bowl, you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Because in the offseason, it took them a little bit, but they took win now, let's go swings.
Yep.
And then if you look at the contracts, hey, we're going to trade a second round pick to get Diggs and then make it a 1-year contract. We're going to go get Daniil Hunter, not long term, but 2 years and big money in those 2 years. His contract is damn near fully guaranteed. Like, they made big win now moves in the offseason. And to me, the question is, if you start to go, is, all right, we're 6-2, we're 8 games in, we're leading the division. I don't care what D'Amico, what Nick says, I don't believe behind closed doors that they look at this group as is right now, knowing that Diggs is out for the year, with Nico and the injury situation, seeing what the offensive line situation looks like. Christian Harris, where is he? Like, who knows what the situation is there? But I can't believe that they look at this group and say, we're ready to go on the road and win in Kansas City.
Agreed.
We're ready to beat Baltimore, like, as is. And so to me, if they sit here and stand pat and don't do anything, to me it signals that they're looking at their team and they potentially think, I don't know if we're good enough to go
get it yet.
So don't just waste future resources, because we've already wasted one with a second round pick. Don't waste future resources if we are just in the same similar boat as we were last year. So to me, I'd be disappointed, because I do think they should be thinking in their mind, we're good enough to go after it.
Well, the interesting thing too, Ron, is we're not talking about blockbuster deals. We're not talking about Devontae Adams leaving the Raiders and going to the Jets. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I would love for you to make a blockbuster deal for a top tier corner, and have two starters and two vets that are proven guys and Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah, you love Marshawn Lattimore. Can they get him from the Saints?
Yeah, no. I would love, a blockbuster deal that the NFL sits up and goes, wow, look at this move that Nick Caserio and D'Amico just made. But I don't think that's what we're talking about. Like, that's not. We're just talking about literally an interior offensive lineman and a cover corner that is a good just starter level corner that can be great depth and possibly play in nickel and dime situations against certain teams, give you some flexibility there coverage wise in your secondary. They don't have to be blockbuster moves, and I say that saying they don't have to be blockbuster moves to prove that you're doing your damnedest to make that run, that Super Bowl run.
Yeah, and to be realistic, like, guys, what about a trade for T. Higgins? I don't think the Bengals have they're not going to quit before November 5th.
Even if they were, I don't think that's
hey, you got to pay him and you got to give up something big time to do that with. But I do think there's like I'll look at it and we'll talk about it here in a bit. I think Deontay Johnson from Carolina would have been a move that, that kind of fits the, all right, we're at, if we're going to add a receiver. The Patriots have a solid corner out there that I think is a good third corner that could play the slot. I think Jonathan Jones or something Jones. The Raiders, Jack Jones, is a good corner, and they got a fire sale going that you could add that not that's not Marshawn Lattimore, but is a player that would most definitely help you and make you better defensively. I think those are moves to make. But to me, I like it would signal to me we don't think now is the time to just go for it. If they stayed here, we don't think now is the time. Just go for it. Baltimore, they're in go for it. They just added. They've done it again. I'd never sit up here watching Baltimore right now thinking, boy, they need another potentially dynamic receiver. Just like in the offseason, I didn't sit there thinking, boy, they need Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
But they are loading up, I think is what you said before we rolled on here. All right. So that's the latest. We'll see what they do. It is November 5th. That is when the trade deadline is up here, and we'll see if the Texans make a move. I think we'll probably see some minor stuff, but I wonder if they will make a notable move, a move that is running across.
Across
like tickers.
The more we talk about it, though, Ron, is the cover corner would be a great move, not only for that room, but think about the position flexibility of now, if need be. Let's just say it's a depth corner. That's a really good depth corner that. Now you got three guys. Well, in a situation where you lose another safety, or yep, you have trouble at safety, you could push Jalen Petrie back to safety and play that guy at somebody at the nickel defender kind of deal. Like you can kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. Of if you got a good cover corner, good cover defender, you don't only allow yourself some scheme flexibility, but you allow yourself that flexibility from a depth at safety corner to be pretty fluid as well.
I just think, man, they've been in go for it, win now mode, and I'd be disappointed if they didn't at least do some things to roll, because I just can't believe that they look at what they have right now and think, I mean, this is
I agree with that.
This is good enough. All right, coming up, we'll let you hear from CJ Stroud. He spoke about the injury to Stephon Diggs. And what's the move after that? They had a practice today. We'll fill you in on the injury report. And I think there is some good news coming from that. We'll fill you in on that as well. And I think Tyler's happy, kind of, but not many of you are. Yankees got a chance to get swept tonight. But it is at the hand of the Dodgers. But the Yankees have a chance to get swept tonight and a narrative that will be very hard to shake for Aaron Judge may continue if he continues to do what he's doing. All of that coming up next on the draft.